here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. And we're just thankful to be in the house of God tonight and just ready to worship him and just let him have his way in our lives. And I will tell you that it's great as people to keep God as your focus. Amen. And so tonight we just want to worship and we just want to praise him and be thankful to be in the house.
Thank you. I wanna know you. Nothing else. as we were singing that song, and we're going to get again to another pretty heavy one, I think, but why is it all we want to do is sit at his presence? Because if you've ever been in it, you're not thinking about anything else. All the worries and struggles of the world have melted away because there's strength and peace in his presence. And that strength and peace that goes in his presence goes out when you go out of his presence. There's nothing better than holding a baby, right? Like a newborn that's not crying and screaming. Like, that's different. But a baby that's just sleeping and is huggable, you know? They just love to snuggle. To me, that is one of the best feelings in the world. Except for the feeling of being in the presence of God and worshiping him. So we want to go in and we want to worship him and be before his presence and forget about everything else, because in him is the fullness of our joy. Amen. In him is our strength, our peace. Everything is in him. And when we sit before him, remember when Moses came down and he shone, his face shone, because the glory of the Lord was so strong that it was on him. And people can tell that he'd been with the Lord. That's like it is when you're in his presence. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the name
Hallelujah.
Of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, give praise the Lord the a Lord. Hand clap of praise. One of my favorite things to do was right there. That's amazing. God, you were good. Sorry, I'm just basking in him right now.
Amen.
He's so good. He is so good.
Amen.
We got some good announcements coming up. We'll get them going so that we can get on to the word. I'm excited to hear the word tonight. We have a couple things. October 8th, it's a Saturday. We would like to have a harvest party for the church here at the church from 4 to 7. We're sorry we didn't tell you earlier. I'm going to blame him. I was on vacation, right? No, it's my fault. I'll take the blame. But again, October 8th, the harvest party is 4 to 7 right here at the church, and we're going to be probably outdoors if weather permitting. If not, we got enough space in here. Amen? But if weather permitting, we'll be outside grilling and having a fire and hopefully some games. I love games. I was going to say, Susan, you're not here. Good thing, probably, because we played a game at the women's Christmas party last year. Was Susan and I on a team? So it's been so long ago. I think me and her sister was on the team. Where's me and Susan? I can't remember. Did anybody remember? It was me and her sister, and we beat you. Okay, so just to say that I am competitive. But I try to control it, so. But I love to play games. I love to play games. I'm going to beat you. Don't get mad. Don't get sad. It's going to be okay. I know I'm going to be the sad one because I'm going to get beat. Somebody's going to come in and say, let's go. And I'm going to get beat. Because, you know, there's always somebody better than you, right? Like, that's the way it is. Okay, so we're going to have a great time. We are opening tryouts for the worship team. We've had a couple people inquire. And we prayed about it, and we are very intentional, maybe is the word, about when we open up the worship team. So we don't do it very often. This might be our fourth time that we've done it in 11 years, almost 12 years. Yeah. So we're going to open up the worship team, and if you would like to be on the worship team, there's a couple things that have to take place. If you've attended this church before this building, you don't have to do this. If you've attended the church just since this building, you do have to go through a next steps. It's a membership class that we have. And I'm going to tell you when it is. And if you're saying, I'm one of those people, or I just want to go through the next steps, but I can't make it to that date, please come and talk to me or Pastor Phil. We'll do something different and make it to where you can get to one. Amen. So it's going to be right after church on October 2nd, and it's a couple hours or more. And we'll provide lunch, and we'll go through that, and it'll be a great time. And then the second thing that you would have to do is talk to Miss Linda here about the process and what you have to do. You have to try out for it, so she'll give you the details of what that looks like, okay? And then, of course, the first Saturday of the month is the women's Bible study / breakfast at 9. So that's not this weekend, but next weekend. You know what I just realized? Men, you're going to be upset too. I have a niece getting married that day. So I don't know that I can make it. Philip and Phil will not be able to make the men's thing that day either. So We texted her back. We let her know that we were coming, and I never wrote it down on our calendar.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they just started talking about it again on Facebook because we live far away from them. Like, we don't talk to them every day. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
But it'll be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. Those things are still going to go on. It just we are not be able to come. It's my niece. It's my niece. I've missed a lot of basketball games and stuff in her life, and I just would, you know, like to be at her wedding and support her. So, yeah. I apologize that I won't be there. I hate missing. Y'all know I hate missing. So, I'm going to see what time the wedding is and see if we can get here and stay for a little bit and then
what?
Go down. And it's going to be a full day, but that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just telling you. when trying
but
to go to
forget my men. They don't even
well,
count.
Well, it's later in the day. It's not my fault.
Jesus, man.
She ain't having the wedding at 8:30 in the morning. Right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so men's third Saturday of the month at 9 at the Plaza in Mount Victory. That's exciting, and they'll get to eat that time frame, too. Amen. Did I say it all? Yeah.
All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this time we better let those children go to children's church. And then we're going to take up the offering. And in Matthew 23:23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and onyx and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and to not leave the others undone." And so we always want to know that, you know, our giving is one aspect of our relationship with God, but we also want to always make sure that we remember the matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and that we participate in each aspect of this, and that giving is just one aspect of where God promises to bring blessing and open up the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer off of her for our sakes. And we always want to be aware of that. We want his help in every aspect of life and every aspect that he will help us with. So today we just want to pray over the tithes and offerings, and then I'll have you bring them forth. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray over tithes and offerings today, Father. Lord, that as people bring, that God, you would just bless them, God, and that, Lord, you are opening the windows of heaven and you are rebuking the devourer for our sake, Father, and that you are the good provider for us all, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today we're going to be teaching about biblical doctrines in life. And so we're just going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And then it says in verse 13 here, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in there, for in doing so, this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And so what is doctrine? Doctrine is established truth. It's the laws, it's beliefs and guidelines, and it is the establishment of God's will found out of his word. Amen? So that's what doctrine is, and that's why we want that to be a very a strong part of our life, and we want to make sure that we are doctrinally sound. We live in a world today where oftentimes we want the things of God, but it's like people want things without any responsibility or without any restrictions or without lordship over their life or without rules over their life. And we just cannot have that when it comes to the Word of God. We have to have strong, sound doctrine as a part of what we are a part of. It says all Scripture is given in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So doctrine is good for inspiration, but it's the Word of God is good for reproof and for correction and for instruction. So we want to make sure that we are getting our correction and our instruction from the Word of God, and that we're letting God make sure that we are adhering to Him in all these things. And it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so we are people that are supposed to make sure that we just don't go with itching ear teaching and something that makes us feel good, but that we're willing to hear the word and we're willing to hear all of it. And we're willing to hear the do's and the don'ts that come along with the Bible and come along with God's word. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1, it says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine will drop as the rain. My speech will distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all this, his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. Their perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? He that hath not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, and thy elders, and they will tell thee. So we want to make sure that we are rooted and grounded in the Lord, and that we don't ever turn ourselves away from him or away from what he's doing and from what he has for us, because our God is a good and a great God. And we want to make sure that we are hearing from him all the time. That's why we want to make sure that we're in the Word. And it says in 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envying and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We need to desire the sincere milk of the word. And that word sincere means free from pretense or deception. It's proceeding from that which is genuine and true and not dishonest or hypocritical. And then milk means the nourishment for young. So we want to make sure that we're desiring the sincere milk of the word and that we are grabbing a hold of the word and that we're putting that in our hearts and in our minds and making sure that we are the people that are built on the word. And we're going to look at a few scriptures here. The book of Isaiah. It says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And this is, of course, talking about Jesus. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." So we know that from now, from the beginning until now, the word of God has been established on Jesus, and it's going to grow in power and authority, and we're glad to be a part of it. We're glad to be under it. And we're glad that he is our God. We're going to read here out of Isaiah for just a minute. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now we're starting to see why it's so important to get in the word of God and let the word of God be a part of us. Amen? Because his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." This is why it's so important, especially when you are believing God for something, that you find a scripture to put your faith in. Because the Bible says his word will not return to him void. So when we find a scripture like this one that says, "By his stripes we are healed," amen? When you're believing God for healing, make sure that you have scripture to support what you're believing him for, because it'll give you boldness and it'll give you endurance. And also, it will not return to God void. It will go forth and it will come to pass. And so we want to make sure that we are always adhering to the things of the word of God and putting the word of God in our heart and in our mouth, because this is where the foundation of everything we believe is established and everything we are is created. And so we need to make sure that the word of God is established in everything we do, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we must make sure that we're abandoning the ways of men and the ways of this world to take on the ways of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we know that God is always going to be with us and he's always going to be here for us. And when we do things his way, then we are always in the position to receive from God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." And this is where we do not want to be. We want to make sure that this is not us that is speaking to right here. "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them," and this is who we want to be. "Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I want you to know something. How are you going to know that you are grown and that you're of a full age? It's only by exercise and use of the word in your life. Amen. The more you use the Word of God, the more opportunity you have to grow. And the more we grow in God, the more opportunity we have the full measure of His Word in us. And it means use of have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, when we exercise our faith and use the Word of God, it helps us discern between good and evil. And it helps us figure out life, and it helps us know what to do in this thing called life. And so we want to make sure that we're people that are making the full use of what God has for us, and that we are people that are grabbing a hold of the whole idea of not just being in church on Sundays and on Thursdays, but also getting in the Word and exercising the Word and making sure that we can handle the strong meat of the Word and making sure that we're reading the Word and we're putting it to practice in our life on a day-to-day basis. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to look here at Titus chapter 1, and we're going to read in verse 8 and see what it says here. It says, in verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." But the point of this is that sound doctrine helps us be able to talk to people. Amen? And it helps us be able to convince people of the truth. Sound doctrine, such as knowing that Jesus loves you and just that he died for all of us, these simple, basic, foundational doctrines are things that we want to be able to share with people and put in their life so that they know and so that they can hear what God is really saying to them and who our God really is, which we're going to take a look here. And it says that our God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6 says, "Showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Wow. God will show mercy to thousands who love him and keep his commandments. And we're glad to be a part of that. And we're glad to be a part of those people that love God and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29 says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Wow, it's interesting to hear how God wants the best for his people. "Oh, that they were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Isn't it amazing that all we have to do is keep God's commandments and it would be well with us and for our children forever? That's what he says. So we got to learn how to get his doctrine and his commandments in us, because when we do, it allows us to keep things that will help us and be a blessing to us and be a blessing to our family and to our lives. Now we're going to look at John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But he, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, this is one thing that we see repeatedly in the scriptures, that if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, blessing is always going to be a part of what we receive from doing that. Now I'm going to read in John chapter 15, verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So one way for us to have the fullness of joy in our life is keeping our Father's commandments. Amen. That's why even while there are things going on in the world that are frustrating and difficult, we can still have peace and we can still have joy because we keep his commandments and because we love him. Amen. And it is a good thing for us to do that and to stay right where we are with the Lord and right where we should be with him, and so that he can just keep working with us and working through things with us so that we can stay as a good, strong people right in the middle of all that's going on around us. Amen. And I'm just going to read, I believe I got one more scripture here for us. And that is going to be over here. 1 Peter. It says in 1 Peter 2:8, and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war after the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So one thing we do is that we have to recognize that we are a peculiar people, amen? That we're a different people, but it's because we're a chosen generation, amen? And it's because God has chosen us and because he loves us and we have obtained mercy. And because we're different people, we have to endure things even when people criticize us or make fun of us or don't understand us. We might have to endure those things, but if we will endure those things and keep working for the Lord and keep showing ourselves as Christians before the world, they're going to be appreciative of who we are. And they're going to be able to be thankful for who we are and what we bring to them because we follow after God and keep him before us. Amen? So we want to make sure that we are the people that just set God before us and make sure that we are people that keep working for him no matter what's going on because we love him and because he loves us. Amen? And because he has set us aside, amen? And he's made us who we are, amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And before I quit, I'm going to say, you know that there are three places where we can get our doctrine from and where we can get our tradition, so to speak, from. We can get them from God, the devil, or from man. Amen? And we want to make sure that for us, we're getting our doctrines from God. Amen? And we're getting our beliefs and our traditions and our way of doing things from God himself. Amen? So that we make sure that we stay exactly what God wants us to be and who God wants us to be. Amen? And we want to make sure that we're always following after God in our pursuits and making sure that we know that we're putting the word first so that we can put God first, amen? That we're making him our top priority and that everything else is secondary to God himself, amen? And that's what we do and that's what we're going to stick by and that's what we're going to continue to do, amen? Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just become before you right now, Father God. And I pray that each one of us, Father, Lord, would start to have your doctrine be a part of our heart, God. Father, that the word of God would be something that we read, that God, your word would get in our heart. It become a part of who we are, Father God. And Lord, as a result, we would become your people, Father God. And that we'd become your strong people, built up in the word, Father. And able to have strong meat in our lives, Father. And Lord, as a result, we're going to be effective at what we're supposed to be doing, Father. Helping other people find you and being a good witness, Father God. You're going to help us be a good witness and help us get other people into the kingdom of God because you're moving in us and you're changing who we are, Father God. And Lord, we just want to give you praise today that you're working on us, Father God, and that we're receiving what you are saying and doing in our lives, Father. That our hearts are open for you to touch us, Father. Our hearts are open for you to come into us and be a part of our life, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there any prayer requests before we go tonight? Anything I can pray for anybody? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I want to thank you for being here. And thank you for who you are in Christ. And thank you for who you're becoming in Christ and what you're allowing the Lord to do in your life. And I'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. Amen. Hallelujah.